I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, talking about the church, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Father, we are thankful this morning that we are privileged to worship God. Thankful that we're privileged to have the Word of God to guide our lives, to show us the will and ways of the Lord. I pray this morning for your anointing to be able to speak the Word of God in a manner that would be a blessing to your people. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on an acceptable sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The text indicates that there can be a sacrifice not acceptable to God, but God is calling us to offer to Him a sacrifice acceptable unto God. In my text, Paul is calling for a sacrifice, not from the world. He's calling for a sacrifice from believers. I beseech you, brethren, Paul is calling us to give to God a sacrifice of ourselves. Our bodies are to be yielded to God to become an instrument of divine service. And to be approved by God, that sacrifice must meet divine qualifications. The strength of the Apostle Paul's appeal to believers for personal sacrifice is found in the divine sacrifice that Jesus made for us when he died on the cross. This is in the background of this passage of Scripture. I beseech you by the mercies of God, and I preach to you last Sunday on responding to the mercies of God. And the divine sacrifice of Jesus is in the background here. Somebody has sacrificed himself for us. Somebody has died on our behalf. Somebody has given their lives so we could be saved. That is in the background of this scripture. And so since somebody has given themselves a sacrifice for us, since Jesus has died for us, we are called upon to make a sacrifice of ourselves unto God. Jesus offered himself on our behalf. He secured our salvation. He offered himself, as the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is, he offered himself without spot unto God. So you understand that there are two aspects of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus offered himself for you and me so that we could be saved. But he offered himself unto God. His offering, his sacrifice, was an expression of his love for God, his determination to do the will of God. He was offering himself without spot unto God. So the offering of Jesus on the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, was a testimony of the love of Jesus for his Father. This is one reason that the sacrifice was so pleasing to God, is that this sacrifice of Jesus was an indication of his devotion to his Father, his willingness to do the will of his Father. In the garden, Jesus had prayed and said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And on the cross, Jesus was carrying out the will of his Father. Hallelujah. And the Lord, the Father, received that sacrifice. It pleased him because Jesus offered an acceptable sacrifice unto his Father. The reason that we know that that sacrifice was acceptable is because 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he came forth conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. The early church would preach like this. They would say to the Jews, "You crucified the Lord of glory, but God raised him from the dead." God reversed the sentence of man against Jesus. They sentenced him to die as a criminal. God reversed the sentence and raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. This was God's stamp of approval on his Son when he brought him out of the grave. He accepted his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. Before Jesus ever went to the cross, the Father examined his Son like a priest would examine a sacrifice brought to the temple. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father put his stamp of approval upon Jesus as the sacrifice and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And brother, if our sacrifice offered to God and is going to be pleasing to God, then it's got to be a sacrifice like that Jesus offered to him. There must be in us the image of Jesus Christ, for this is what pleased the Father. I am well pleased with my Son. So we're talking about an acceptable sacrifice unto God. I want to demonstrate this morning what we are to sacrifice to God, the qualities of an acceptable sacrifice, and thirdly, the use made of that sacrifice. What are we to sacrifice to God? He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." We give God our bodies. You know, we have every reason to do that. For we belong to God. Our bodies belong to God by virtue of two divine actions. One is the fact that we are created by God. God made these bodies, breathed into them the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We belong to God by right of creation. And then we belong to God by right of redemption. Our bodies have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus paid for us on the cross of Calvary so that those bodies that had been used by the devil, given to sin, those bodies that had been wasted in sin, now then they've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and we belong to God by right of creation. We belong to God by right of redemption. We have been bought with a price. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's." So we are called upon to yield our bodies unto God. I beseech you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. That means your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your hands, your feet, your mind, your heart, everything about your body is to be yielded unto God as a sacrifice unto Him. Then I want you to notice the qualities of an acceptable sacrifice unto God. First of all, He said, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. This sacrifice must be alive. In contrast to the dead animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they brought sacrifices, they killed those sacrifices. They laid dead sacrifices on the altar. But now then, God is calling for a living sacrifice. He's calling for us who are alive. Calling for those of us who have vital life in our bodies to give those bodies unto God to be used for His glory and His honor. In the other religions, there is a difference between what is called for by the God of the Bible and what is called for by the God of Islam. Allah also asked for a sacrifice. He asked for a murderous and bloody sacrifice. He asked for His people to offer themselves to Him, suicide bombers. He asked for the children. He asked for the babies. He asked for the mothers. He asked for the fathers to sacrifice themselves, to be a deadly sacrifice. Palestinian children are taught in school to become suicide bombers. When they are asked, what are your plans for life? What is your ambition in life? Their plans and their ambition is to become a suicide bomber, to kill as many people as they can in taking their own life. Allah promises them to eternal life. You know, the Muslim cannot know whether or not he has eternal life unless there are special things that he does. And this special thing of giving his life in killing other people for Allah secures for him a place in heaven. So he's given eternal life. He's given sexual favors to all of those who end their life in the act of killing unbelievers. So Allah asked for a sacrifice too, but He asked for a deadly sacrifice. But Christ is asking for a sacrifice. Our God is asking for a sacrifice, but He's asking for a living sacrifice. He's asking us, and the Christian's ambition is to live, to be a living sacrifice. He doesn't offer the sacrifice of a moment, but the sacrifice of an ongoing life devoted to God. So what God is asking us to do is to make a decision to offer to God all the powers and possibilities resident in our bodies and that we can glorify God by an ongoing life devoted to Him. We present or offer our bodies a living sacrifice. And we are to never take it off the altar. It's to be an ongoing sacrifice, a life lived to the glory of God. Secondly, that sacrifice, in order to be acceptable, must be holy. You present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That sacrifice, in order to be accepted with God, must be a sanctified sacrifice. The Bible tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is God's standard for His people for all ages. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So that in order for this sacrifice to be accepted, it must be a sanctified sacrifice. That is, what is this holiness, this sanctification? I tell you in a word what it is. It is a state of joyful surrender to the will of God. Did you get that? I said it is a state of joyful surrender to the will of God. This is what God is asking out of us. If we're going to give God a sacrifice that's acceptable to Him, it must be a holy sacrifice, a sacrifice of someone who gives joyful surrender to the will of God. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O God. This is the kind of sacrifice that's acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Are y'all still with me out there? I know, you know, this kind of preaching don't get nobody shouting normally. But just hold on just a little bit. I'll try to tell you something that'll do you good. Okay? So just hold on for a few minutes. A body, listen, a body surrendered to God. This is what God is asking for. A body that surrendered to sin cannot at the same time be surrendered to God. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You'll hate one, you'll love the other. You cannot serve two masters. So if your body is surrendered to sin, it cannot at the same time be surrendered to God. In order for this sacrifice to be acceptable, it must be holy. In the Old Testament, sacrifices brought to God had to meet certain qualifications. In fact, there were two. First of all, the sacrifice had to be a clean animal. It could not be an unclean animal. You couldn't offer a pig on the altar to God. A pig was an unclean animal. So you had to have a clean animal. But just any clean animal wouldn't do to offer to God as a sacrifice. After you selected a clean animal, you had to examine that clean animal and make sure that there was no blemish in that clean animal. If it had a blemish, if it was sick, if it had a cut ear, if it had an injury, you could not offer that animal on a altar before God. It had to be without blemish. Because look who you're offering it to. Hallelujah. Look who you're offering this animal to. This sacrifice is being offered to the God of the universe. This sacrifice is being offered to the Creator. This sacrifice is being offered to the Redeemer. So it's got to be the best, a clean animal, an animal without blemish that's offered on the altar before God. Offering a blemished animal on the altar was an insult to God. Did you hear me? I said offering a blemished animal on the altar was an insult to God. God said to the children of Israel in Malachi, He said, you are offering blemished animals on the altar. Take what you offer to me. Offer it to your governor. What will he say if you offer to him what you're offering to me? God said, you're insulting me by what you're putting on the altar. Brother, I feel like preaching here. I know y'all may be wanting to go home, but I'm feeling like preaching right here. I'm telling you, across this country, God is being insulted by what's being put on the altar. My, God says, I want a sacrifice out of you, but I want the right kind of sacrifice out of you. I want a holy sacrifice. You can't tell me, brother, that you can sit at home and watch that television hour after hour and feed and feast the flesh and then offer to God a holy sacrifice. And you can't do that. If you're going to offer to God a holy sacrifice, and you've got to be separate from the world, brother. There's got to be a separation from the unclean, and you've got to be holy before God. Y'all want to hear some more of that, or maybe I should move on? Hallelujah. Praise God. That offering's got to be right. Are we going to insult God? My, when you come to the altar of God and your heart is full of bitterness and unforgiveness and greed and covetousness and you refuse to deal with the things in your heart that you know are displeasing to God, You break the commandments of God. You know you break the commandments of God, and it doesn't bother you, and you never do anything to correct it, and you're going to offer that to God. Don't insult God. Cain insulted God. Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to the Lord. The Bible says that God accepted Abel's offering. He rejected Cain's offering. And then the Bible tells us why God rejected Cain's offering. The Bible tells us in 1 John that Cain was wicked. It also tells us from God dealing with him in Genesis, God said to him, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do well, God will make no distinction between those who come with the right attitude, offering the right sacrifice to him. If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? God is no respecter of persons, and God will receive you, but you must reverence God. You must respect God. You must bring to God the right kind of sacrifice. The fatal flaw of the modern church is this: the failure to insist on holiness and sanctification. The altar of the Lord is polluted by those who are surrendered to sin. I said the altar of the Lord is polluted by those who are surrendered to sin. Finally, I want to speak to you about the use of the sacrifice. The use made of the sacrifice. The sacrifice offered to God. What does God do with it? Well, my text tells us that he uses that sacrifice to contribute to his body, the body of Christ, the church. He tells us that we belong to the body. All of God's people belong to the body of Jesus, the church of Jesus Christ. We all have a contribution to make to that body. But God doesn't just use anybody to make that contribution. He wants an acceptable sacrifice. And he tells us about seven gifts of grace that God uses to edify, build up his body. These are gifts that reside in his people. All of you are gifted in some way. In fact, you will probably see yourself or someone else that you know, as we look at these seven gifts that direct our contribution to the body of Jesus Christ. God uses you according to your special gifts, talents, abilities. First of all, he says, having been gifts differing according to the grace given to us with a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Prophecy is the proclamation of truth. And then he says, our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Ministry is literally, it's servant, being a servant. It signifies practical service. And this is one thing that I've been talking to you about this morning in the missions program, practical service. For he that teacheth on teaching, teaching is a gift, whereas prophecy is the proclamation of truth, teaching is the explanation of truth. He that exhorteth on exhortation, exhortation being encouragement, the gift of encouragement. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, giving. Did you know that giving is a gift? Everybody's supposed to give, but there are certain people that are gifted to give. They have the ability to discern where it's needed. They have a heart to give it where it's needed. They have a heart that they're compelled to give above and beyond. They have the gift of giving, sharing what God has shared with them. And then there's the gift of of ruling. He that ruleth with diligence. Hey, how many of y'all like that gift? Ruling. Oh, my. Nobody. I thought everybody would want that one. But this is important in the house of God. Somebody's got to be a leader. Somebody's got to administrate. Somebody's got to step out front. And this is a gift from God. And then finally, there's a gift of showing mercy. Did you know that people are gifted to show mercy? And we need that gift too in the house of God. Especially to offset those with the gift of prophecy. You know, the prophet generally is the man that's pointing out sin. Almost heartlessly sometimes. He sees it. He spots it. He's hard on people sometimes. And we need that kind of person that comes along and offers a little salve, you know, and shows mercy. And so, working together, we edify the body. Working together, we comfort the body. Working together, we purify the body. Working together, we help the body of Jesus Christ. And so, when we're on the altar to God, we're not just laying there to be a museum piece. God says, I'm going to use you. Put yourself on the altar before God, and God says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to use you to build up the kingdom of God. God is looking for an acceptable sacrifice. The church suffers damage when those seeking to contribute are not acceptable to God. Now, brother, let me tell you something. I'm probably going to be preaching some more holiness to you as we go along here. But I want you to understand something. God still has a standard of holiness. I've just been reading some awful things going on in this country. Church down in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor of a charismatic congregation, 6,000 members. And the ministerial staff there engaged in fornication over the years. Father's the pastor, the senior pastor, father's a child by his brother's wife. The child does not know that. He thinks the pastor is his uncle, when really it's his daddy. Later on in recent years, one of the secretaries of the church brought charges against the pastor for using her to service preachers and himself. Preachers that come through there. And things begin to come to light. Well, he assigns his supposed nephew to be the pastor of the church. And then the court process brings out the fact that that boy is not his nephew. It's his son by his brother's wife. And that these things have been going on for years in that congregation. Now then, instead of repenting of sin, instead of coming to grips with sin, that church has adopted the theology that everybody's going to be saved. That nobody's going to be lost. Everybody's going to heaven. That God's salvation is universal. Nobody's going to be lost. Do you see how the immorality led to theological deceit? I'm telling you, brother, it's important what's on the altar. And God says, I want you to offer to me an acceptable sacrifice so I can use you in my kingdom to build the church of Jesus Christ. The church flourishes when those contributing to its life are acceptable to God. My sister and brother-in-law came up, their family, this weekend for us to have our Christmas after Christmas. And my brother-in-law was talking about my dad, and he said, you know, I run into people in McCall. He just lived there just a few months. He said, I run into people all the time that said they knew him. He had an impact on our community in just a few months that he lived there. And said, I was talking to the assistant principal of the school there in McCall. We were talking about the Lord. And he said, the principal said, He said, you know, I feel goosebumps while I'm talking to you, running up my arms. He said, I know the Spirit of the Lord's in you. And he said, you know that father-in-law of yours? He said, I only met him twice in my life. But said, I felt that same thing when I got around him. I knew that man was a good man. I want to tell you, brother and sister, this is the kind of sacrifice that God is asking for out of me and you. An acceptable sacrifice. A sacrifice by which we can be a blessing to a lost and dying world. A sacrifice by which we can service the community of believers. That we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. A living sacrifice. Praise God. Let's stand together.